Thank you for flying with us here on the Muscles for Brussels Airlines, all the way from Australia to Belgium. We are going to be showing you some of the greatest action films ever made by the one they like Jean-Claude Van Damme, the Muscles from Brussels himself. Alongside Dennis Rodman as they battle the one the only Mickey Rourke. Take care, folks, and safe travels.
Contemplating what's the best day. Watching that movie. I'm the lethal mullet.
G'day, man. Hey, gal. This is Adam O'Brien, Lethal Mullet. And you mulleteers out there, I hope you're ready for another grand year of amazing action film coverage here on FPN's The Lethal Mullet podcast. So, me being Adam O'Brien, The Lethal Mullet, thought I'd start off 2021 with an amazing film, one that I've been looking for actually on DVD and Blu-ray and haven't watched since VHS. So, being that as it may, I actually went out and got myself another version of it on VHS. This is, of course, Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dennis Rodman's Choi Hark-directed classic Double Team, which came out in 1997. This is a film which was on a bit of a downward spiral at the time of Van Damme's career. He'd been riding high since Universal Soldier and Hard Target and Nowhere to Run, films like that were sort of jumping him right up into this new territory where, of course, the alpha male was such a huge part of blockbuster entertainment at the cinemas and vice versa. But we are definitely going to be looking at that tonight, folks. So happy new year. Hope you had a great new year's and hope you're all safe out there and doing the right thing to keep things COVID safe, because at the end of the day, that's important, folks. Really is. No joke about it. You've got to be still to this day, even though a lot of the restrictions out here in Australia have eased quite a bit. Got to be sensible. And of course, the biggest thing, if you can, use a mask. And of course, also social distance. All right. So Christmas has come and gone, and obviously New Year's. And, one of the great things about this time of the year, January in particular, is that it comes at a time where things quieten right down, particularly in business. Everyone's spent all their money through Christmas, and they're at a time where it's chilling time. And a lot of, obviously, business people and a lot of working families are on holidays all over the place. So it's a good time to chill back and relax and look at some great fun. When it comes to podcasting, you can listen to this show as you're out on the morning jog. You can catch up with it at the gym, whatever it is, at work. We get a lot of listeners, not only this show, but all FPN, letting us know how and where they listen. So definitely let us know, you know, how do you enjoy your FPN shows by commenting on when these come out. We're recording these in late November in 2020, as we were all on holidays ourselves, folks. So we're getting that news out there for you too. Now, before we get into all the news that's fit to print, here's some sad news that happened today. So I'll get in this before we get into the context. We've just found out that Hugh Keyes-Byrne, the famous Australian actor, Hugh Keyes-Byrne, amazing actor who was obviously involved in Mad Max. He's involved in Salute of the Jugger. He's involved in Farscape. And, of course, Fury Road, played Immortan Joe, has unfortunately passed away. And what a legend. I got to meet him last year at a Mad Max event here in the Gold Coast, where they were doing a lot of the pop culture visits and stuff, a Supernova Festival and vice versa here in Australia. And that was with Steve Bisley and one of the other cast members, Nathan Jones of Fury Road as well. And just lovely people. When we went to the screening, they all came and watched the film as well. So Steve Bisley and, of course, Nathan giving some great answers here and there. But of course, I wanted to chat to Toe Cutter himself and got a chance to chat. He's just a very, very down to earth, but also I think just very spiritual is the thing I thought I got from Hugh's sort of outlook on just some of the answers that he said. You know, he enjoyed what he did, he enjoyed obviously playing characters and really getting to the nuts and bolts of acting and stuff like that. So it's very sad, but again, rest in peace, my friend. You have done an amazing career and where we'll still, to this day, be watching those films for years to come. So, before we get into the show, here's how you can contact us here at the show, and of course, subscribe and watch everything on FPN.
Get Armani going. Follow the Lethal Mullet here on Fandom Podcast Network's master channel at fpnet.podbean.com, or subscribe on the Podbean app, where you can find all the shows. Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast. Culture Clash, a weekly look at pop culture. New look at Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast. And also check out The Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe from me, the Lethal Mullet. You can also check out this show and all the others, like What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, and much, much more. All on FPN. You can follow on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all podcatchers. Make sure you follow me, The Lethal Mullet, at The Lethal Mullet on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Now it's time for the latest action news from the cinema and martial arts movies and more, all here on the Lethal Mullet podcast. All right, we probably talked about this on the last episode of the show, but there's some great VHS films which I've been able to really invest in and enjoy from some great deals on eBay Australia, which are just fantastic. A lot of them are absolutely no cost when it comes to delivery, which is fantastic. Always great to get a local deal, folks. But obviously, one of the ones tonight is Double Team, which I'm going to be chatting about very, very soon after the news segment. But also Mission of Justice, the Jeff Wincott film, which is just not available here in Australia, unless you've got it on VHS. But this champion right here, the one with the mullet, has been able to find it on DVD. That's right, DVD, folks. And I've just watched it, and it might just be episode 83, chatting about that one, folks. It is fantastic. It's a really good, fun film. And again, it feels like there's some friends have said a natural continuation of what Jeff Wincott was doing, obviously post-Martial Law 2, and moving on through his career of being a pretty damn good actor, but also a great Taekwondo stylist who is bringing in a lot of different things, like obviously the stunt teams sort of bring in karate influence, particularly Kenpo. There's a little bit of a, I suppose, a Kenpo and even Filipino style to what he's doing in a lot of these fights too. So some of the stunt people you're going to see in this film too are from another Jeff film, Perfect Weapon. So you actually get to see him take on some of the guys that Jeff Speakman took on. Yeah, I wonder if the two Jeffs have ever met. Because back in the 90s, it was Jeff Speakman, folks, and of course, Jeff Wincott. But we'll get onto that a little bit later. Some other ones, Steel Dawn, classic film. It's a real Western mixed with samurai, and definitely want to get in on that one and just chat about what I love about it. It's a simple film. There's some great sci-fi stuff in it, actually, believe it or not. Also stars, obviously, Anthony Zerbe and Christopher Neame and John Fugioka. And, of course, he was the master of the American Ninja. Okay, so he taught ninjutsu to that fine Mr. That is, of course, Dudikoff. What's interesting about, too, is that film's really, you know, obviously set up to be a bit of a franchise piece. It's a shame, out with swords, set in the future, no electricity, no firepower, no guns. again, we'll talk about that one at a later date with a lot more depth. Another one's Leviathan, of course. We're going to be talking about that in a couple of weeks here too. I had to be really picky which ones we're going to actually cover here, because some of these are very hard to find. The other one was, of course, Tim Thomason's Dollman, which we're definitely doing, folks, because I think more people need to see this film, which came out, I think, in 1991. Obviously, some great work by a director of Cyborg in that one. And, of course, some pretty famous actors, which you're going to be surprised when I bring up who was in that one too. And again, it's a quite a fun little film. Tim Thomason's brand of humour always in there. And again, this is also shot in some of the places that they did Nemesis and Cyborg. So again, using particularly when it's attached to full moon features or full moon pictures. Charles Band's work, you're always going to get some quality B-grade, which they actually look pretty damn good. I mean, Future Cop was always great. Trances, that is. Another one too. So we'll get into a little bit more. There's going to be a lot of Tim Thomason 2021. We're going to do 2021 Tim Thomason specials, folks, because he's just freaking awesome, okay?
Alrighty, mate. Time to go down to the pub for a pint, a chat, action movies and more here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Double Team is a 1997 action film, which was directed by one of the greatest Hong Kong legends, Choi Ha, one of the greats. This is a man that's directed some of the greatest Jet Li films, you name it. We're talking about going back as far as Once Upon a Time in China, and that amazing trilogy, which obviously spawned not only the career of Jet Li, but Donnie Yen started back then, obviously Yuen Wu Ping. It all is generated from that period. And, at a time when Jean-Claude Van Damme was experiencing some great success, he was starting to dabble in using directors from Hong Kong and abroad, and some of those films are very, very, very interesting. Of course, Double Team's one of them, Maximum Risk is another, and of course, Ringo Lam was another director that he used in that period too. Just some really interesting concepts. Ones that, for the first glance, probably aren't a great idea for an action film. But in this case, great idea for an action comedy. Now, he stars alongside Dennis Rodman, the legendary basketball player and all-round celebrity. Obviously, he's a very well-known personality. And this is quite good. The bad guy in this playing Stavros is Mickey Rourke. Now, Mickey Rourke I've been a huge fan of since the early days of Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man, and obviously a lot of different stuff he's done since, even, you know, where he's got that great role in Iron Man 2, where he goes, but the bird, you know, the bird. You know, some great scenes in that one, of course. So Van Damme plays a counter-terrorist CIA-style agent by the name of Jack Quinn, and he's been brought back from retirement to hunt down this elusive killer, this terrorist by the name of Stavros. And of course, Stavros is, of course, Mickey Rourke. A lot of it's to do with the fact that in this mission that he's given, he is involved in a gunfight, and basically a little battle ensues at a theme park where Stavros's wife and son get killed. And of course Stavros takes it quite personal that Jack Quinn is the one that tried to kill him, take him alive, what do you want to call it, and is to blame for the death of his family. So he does exactly the same to Jack Quinn, and Jack Quinn is left for dead and taken to a place, this island, where all old agents that is apparently either served their service time and died of natural causes or died in duty are sent to. And this is called the Colony. This island where all the power and the forces of CIA, KGB, you know, and all those MI6 agents from all over the world come together, and they're basically this huge anti-terrorist organization which lend their expertise in detection of crime and terrorism to come through. What's great is there's an amazing actor in this part, and that is, of course, one that kind of comes a bit of a mentor, if you like, somebody that gets Van Damme back on the path, and that is, of course, Paul Freeman, better known in Indiana Jones circles as Belloc. They call him Belosh. And he's great in this. He actually plays quite well against them too. So this was produced by Moshe Diamant and David Rogers. Moshe Diamant obviously has been involved in some Van Damme films previously. This was brought to the production company by Mandalay, and I always liked the start of that. The Mandalay had the great animation of their logo and stuff like that. It was quite a beautiful one. Distributed by Columbia Pictures, and it was released April 4, 1997. I can even remember when it came to cinemas. It was great. The budget was about $30 million, and box office did quite well. It was $48 million back, roughly, which is pretty good. Problem was, it didn't get very good reviews. gutted a lot of the great raspberries and all that sort of stuff. Basically, they said it was a bit of a turkey at the box office, it won worst awards, basically, the raspberry. So, worst supporting actor by Dennis Rodman, worst new star, Rodman, and worst screen couple, Rodman and Van Damme. It's actually quite funny. They're both so, let's just say, skilled to a certain level as actors, that or unskilled, depending on your critique of it, that actually complements each other quite well. The punchlines, all that sort of stuff, the way it works. Personally, I actually quite like it. I think it's pretty fun. Anyway, let's get to the cast. Jean-Claude Van Damme plays Jack Paul Quinn. Basically, he's a retired agent who's just wanting to spend time with his wife, who's pregnant. Her name's Catherine, and obviously she gets kidnapped by Mickey Rourke's character. Dennis Rodman plays Yaz, who's basically an arms dealer, one that knows, obviously, CIA and other more nefarious means, that he stocks them up with weaponry, hardware, computers, you name it. I honestly think he's pretty good in this. Dennis Rodman's always been an interesting personality and character, and I think this is really, really quite eccentric to the point, but somebody that's quite good at the action. I mean, he's an athlete, but playing off Van Damme is quite good. Now, Mickey Rourke is interesting in this. I do wonder just how much of this film he actually was in, as in the filming of it. Obviously, there's certain parts that he's definitely in, but watching some of the fight scenes, you can tell that he either wasn't there at the time, or it's just the body shots, the body blows that Van Damme was laying into the stuntman. It's obviously not him. But even just some of the it was almost like that Craig T. Nelson style of action we saw on Action Jackson. We obviously see him supposedly kicking Apollo Creed, or Action Jackson in this case. But you can see Carl Weathers definitely in the action scene, but Craig T. Nelson's definitely not the one kicking. Some of these massive martial arts kicks. But anyway, Mickey Rourke's definitely in some of those action scenes, and he's probably at his most beefy. You know, he's put on a lot of muscle. It's very fit guy, obviously. He's always been, obviously, a boxer. You know, he was a boxer since a very, very early age, and that's mentality of fitness is definitely there. And Mickey Rourke's just got a presence, always has. There's an air of cool about him in this. And, of course, it's Harley Davidson, you know, from that great film from the 90s. So, obviously, part of it is that, he's kind of an international terrorist slash arms dealer himself, and just a bit of a freelancer, you know. He's paid to the highest bidder. Natasha Lindinger plays Catherine Quinn. She's basically Jack's wife. She's an artist, a sculptor, and she's pregnant at the first part of the movie there. Paul Freeman plays Alex Goldsmith, and he's obviously Jack Quinn's friend, knows, obviously, him through something in the background. Obviously, Left 4 Dead, basically 6 years before. And of course, he becomes the guardian to Jack, which basically means if he leaves the colony, which is this basically huge island that's just boarded off with lasers and bombs and explosives, so that if you do jump in the water, you are not coming back. obviously, it's also got great sort of, it's basically like a huge resort, if you like. But part of that is too that they're all working together to go against the greatness of the other agencies and stuff like that too. So Double Team was filmed all over the place, to be honest, folks. You've got some shooting in Antwerp, which is Beautiful location, Belgium, obviously. Nice and Alès, France, and obviously Rome in Italy. So obviously it's meant to have this massive, huge fight at the end at the Colosseum. But it was actually shot in southern France in Alès, or Alès, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, amphitheatre in southern France. And it's beautiful. Actually, it's well shot. I mean, at the outset, you could probably tell that it's not the Colosseum, but the way it's shot sort of still give it a sort of epic sense of grandeur. I mean, we know it's done before in The Way of the Dragon with Bruce Lee too, where they shot somewhere else too. But I think out of all the locations, one of the great things is the opening, where we see Van Damme in his days as an agent, basically breaking up some type of plutonium or weapons deal. And he drives this huge truck, this transport, which has got the stuff on the back of it, through the walls and then through up and down mountains and stuff like that. He basically treats it like a dune buggy, and it's fantastic. The film itself, too, is, I think, just really well put together when it comes to some of the music that was involved, too. The original score itself was made by Gary Chang. And he's known for, obviously, some, you know, great work on Breakfast Club. I think he was also in The Colour of Money, if I remember, too. But, you know, it's just a really, it's a modern score. In some ways, elements of it, some of the scenes, the music in the background, the soundtrack sounds a little bit like Under Siege, a little bit too. The little sort of temp music you would hear in scenes in the ship when we see Seagal going through some of those scenes where he's trying to take out all the bad guys and stuff like that too. But it works quite well. I really enjoyed it. So obviously the film itself is considered to be a bit of a failure, but still, it made 18 million more than its budget as well too. So, but as far as that too, let's look at some of the great scenes. So for me, one of the great things about this film is it's Van Damme playing to a strength that a lot of people don't realise he's got. He's a comic talent. He's a mimic when it comes to you just look on YouTube, look up Van Damme impressions, and you'll see him doing impressions of all the other action stars, and particularly Stallone. He does a really spot-on Stallone. If you haven't heard it, you should. You've got to check it out. It's great. He does Seagal, believe it or not, and maybe this is why Seagal's got a beef with him. Who knows? I think that's the thing is, Van Damme is a kind of lighthearted kind of character who, you know, he doesn't let that sort of stuff faze him. Because still to this day, people are, you know, saying, oh, that guy was never a champion. He was, you know, what's he done? But if there's video footage showing you very, very well that he was a karate tournament champion in Europe, and he's, you know, all the kicks that you see on screen are for real. When it comes to his talent, he was doing those back in the days of sparring and stuff like that too. So it definitely happened. But this one's interesting. Choi Hark, obviously, great director. I actually think of all the talents that we know from Hong Kong, he's probably my favourite. I mean, so let's have a look at some of his work. So he's done, obviously, Zoo Warriors from the Magic Mountain, 1983. Once Upon a Time in China series from 91 to 97. The Blade in 95. A Better Tomorrow. Yeah, that's a great one. This is as a producer, these ones. A Chinese Ghost Story, The Killer. The Legend of the Swordsman. The Great Iron Monkey. And, of course, directed by Yuen Wu Ping. And Jet Li's Black Mask in 96, which has a lot of action, which is reminiscent of The Matrix.
Hey, yes, sir. Do you have some guns?
All right, folks, let's do Kevin the Raider Nerd Reisel's favourite part when it comes to these ones, these movies. There's, of course, the guns, the weapons that are involved in these films, because it was a big part of the action movies back in the day. Now, first up in the handguns department, we have the Beretta 92FS, used by Jean-Claude Van Damme in a lot of those scenes. Obviously, Van Damme's been using those since back in the day, of course. God, going back to, it'd have to be Double Impact. We first saw him using those in, as Jack Quinney uses those. Mickey Rourke also uses a Beretta, and that is, of course, it is a 93R, which is the automatic edition. But in the movie, it looks like it's the 92FS was a full auto conversion done on the basic pistols. So whether they weren't able to get the correct one or vice versa. Obviously, these were mock-ups, and they've got the extended barrel on them as well, which really, really look good. They're kind of a little bit like the ones you saw in the Gun Carter scenes in Equilibrium. And yes, folks, we have had a message from quite a few people a few months back when we mentioned about Equilibrium, that they would like us to do Equilibrium. We will do that on this show sometime early 2021. We'll get into that too. That's a great film. I love it. Actually, quick offside about Equilibrium is I actually prefer it to the Matrix. I think it's a better film. Anyway, let's get into it. So obviously Mickey Rourke uses that too. The 92FS Centurion, which is a smaller one, is used by one of the many assailants in it too. The Beretta 950. Jeez, did Beretta sponsor this movie? The Ruger Mark II is also used. It's kind of a assassin's gun in this one. There's also knockoffs of the 92FS by the company Taurus from the States, that one, too. So let's jump ahead. This is all the handguns. There's also an interesting one, a Benelli, that we see in one of the many arms scenes, obviously. All these ones that Dennis Rodman's character Yaz has all up on the walls inside his office. Here's obviously the FNP 90, which gets loaded up and fired to a mannequin target that he's got there too. And, of course, that's more known for being used in, of course, Stargate SG-1 by Jack O'Neill. Another Jack. And, of course, obviously, Van Damme gets to use that as well. We see the Uzi in it as well, the mini Uzi. We also see the micro Uzi. Interesting. Micro Uzi, the one that's used in Delta Force. No, that was the mini Uzi, wasn't it, folks? That's right. Heckler Concha MP5s are all over the place in this. And also a police officer in one of the many epic scenes jumping down in middle of traffic on a horseback, firing out with a Beretta PM12S submachine gun. Again, powerful weapon. We also see the Jadomatic SMG. Now, if you remember a great film, actually a favourite of Kevin's, believe it or not, and favourite of ours here at the show, that is, of course, Stallone's Cobra. He uses a Jadomatic SMG with huge scope and laser on it at the end of Cobra when he's hunting down the bad guys. So there's some crazy weapons in this. The Coleco M950, which, believe it or not, is a weapon that's the base for the big plasma assault rifle that is used in Terminator by the actual balls themselves. We see some carbine versions of the M16 in this too. A Steyr sniper rifle used by Jessica Ford's Delta 3 character in this. She plays one of the Russian commandos in it too. So, yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a SIG SG. There's quite a few SIGs in this, plus you get to see the Mini-Mi, or the M249, as it's known in the States, the Squad Automatic Weapon, the SAW. And, of course, you get to see what we call the GPMG out here, folks. That's right, the General Purpose Machine Gun from FN. I don't know what they call it in the States. They might call it the M240 there, folks. Some powerful weapons that took over from, obviously, the M60. After service, many shotguns. I mean, this is really one of those amazing movies that just happens to have just about every gun in it. The FN Mini-Mi used in this one as well is a carbine one. And then there's the FN Mag 58. That's the GPMG, folks. That's one hell of a weapon. And here, yeah, it even says it was the M240 machine gun in American service there too. So, interesting one, but I still think the greatest weapon in this is the huge transport at the start, which Jean-Claude Van Damme is clearly not driving. So, I hope you enjoyed our little look at Double Team today, folks, and if you can find it, get it, watch it, VHS is easy to find, but it just doesn't seem to be found easily on DVD.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to the Fandom Podcast Network and all of the other awesome shows we have to offer. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture news podcast. Blood of Kings, our Highlander podcast. Couch Potato Theater, our podcast celebrating our favorite movies. Time Warp, the Fandom Flashback podcast discussing a year in movies and our favorite pop culture topics. End Zone, the NFL podcast. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. Union Federation, our Star Trek and Orville podcast. Hair Metal, the 80s and early 90s rock metal podcast. Type 40, our Doctor Who podcast. Lethal Mullet, a 1980s and 90s action film podcast. What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast. And our newest show, Making Treks, a new Star Trek podcast with a deep dive into the final frontier with host Mark Newbold and Adam P. O'Brien. You can enjoy all of these great Fandom Podcast Network shows on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. Fandom Podcast Network is also on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. You can also find us on Facebook under Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter under Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
G'day, folks. Hope you're enjoying the great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Be sure to check out all the great shows that we have on offer and subscribe on the master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. You can check Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel and Lee Fillingsus on their platform. You can also check out Culture Clash, which is the weekly look at pop culture hosted by Kevin and Kyle. Couch Potato Theatre, this is a cult classics and guilty pleasure podcast. Also Time Warp, a fandom flashback show. End Zone, a look at the NFL, the American football. Also, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, looking at the great films of Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation podcast, a Star Trek and Orville podcast, looking at Discovery and, of course, Picard, plus the Orville. Also, the Hair Metal podcast, looking at the great shows put on by the amazing bands back in the late 80s, their discs, their LPs, everything, all covering the fashion as well. Hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel. You can also check out Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, hosted by Kevin and Dan Hadley, looking at all the eras of Doctor Who. You can also catch out What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, an amazing show looking at Star Wars, hosted by Derek and Scott. And of course, our newest one, the amazing, The Mullet Guild, an offshoot of the Lethal Mullet podcast, looking at Frank Herbert's Dune universe. This is like an encyclopedia for Dune, where I take you through and down into the rabbit hole of Frank Herbert's amazing space opera, the sprawling universe which is going to be brought to life by Denis Villeneuve and December 18. You can check out all the shows there. Be sure to also go onto the social platforms on Twitter at FanPod Network. Let us know what you think of the shows and what else you can look at there. You can also check out great articles that we put up through there that we share. Also check out on Instagram and Facebook, Fandom Podcast Network. Be sure to make sure that every Tuesday you check out the great work done by Making Treks as well. A brand new podcast looking at a deep dive of Star Trek, hosted by myself, James Semple, and of course, the ever popular and amazing writer of Star Trek and Star Wars, Mark Newbold. Go and check it out, folks, and we'll catch you next time here on the Fandom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
All right, folks, here we go. Welcome to the cantina. Let's go.
I'm sitting here waiting, contemplating what's the best day. Watching action movies. Wow, I'm the leader. Whoa, I'm the leader. Whoa, I'm the leader. Whoa, I'm the leader. Movie. boys are sitting here waiting, contemplating what's the best day, watching action movies.